Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. The past two Sundays, we've been answering an important question. Why do we go to church? What's the real function of the local church? Why did God organize a called-out assembly of baptized believers united together by covenant called a church? In Acts 2, we identified five functions of the local church: doctrine, fellowship, worship, service, and evangelism. Doctrine, simply the teachings of the Bible. Doctrines unite believers together as a local church, and they separate a particular local church from all other local churches that don't believe the same things. Around those doctrines, believers unite in fellowship. Fellowship is two or more brethren uniting their efforts to accomplish work for Christ. Then we talked about worship, both private and public. Worship is prayer and praise, but it begins with the understanding that one's very existence is to please Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to accomplish His purpose and pleasure for one's life. Then we talked about service to the brethren. Service is the fourth purpose of the local church. Remember, Jesus said, "He that is greatest among you shall be your servant." But He said even of Himself, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." You are never more like Christ than when you're serving your brother. Today we will talk about evangelism. It's the fifth function of the local church identified in Acts 2. Listen to these words: "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Very specifically, evangelism is giving the gospel or good news to the unsaved. It involves preaching the gospel or witnessing to the lost. It means that I share with others what God has done in my life when He saved me from sin. As I give the gospel witness, I not only tell them how it was that I got saved, but how they can be saved too. I may or may not accompany my witness with an invitation to be saved, but the gospel must be shared. This preaching or this witnessing or this sharing is an obedience to the Great Commission that Jesus gave to the church just before His ascension. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus says, "All power," that is all authority, "is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." The same commission is given in each of the four Gospels as well as the book of Acts. I've learned from experience that God doesn't repeat things in the Bible to fill page space. Repetition is a mark of emphasis. God means for us to emphasize the importance of evangelism, that is, carrying out the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission requires three things of believers. First of all, we're to preach the gospel to all nations, every living creature. Secondly, we baptize with immersion all who believe. Then we're to make disciples of those converts, teaching them all the things that Christ has taught us. Here we see our Christian human responsibility. Now, usually we look at evangelism as the responsibility of believers, but this passage confirms that God also has a major part in salvation or in evangelism. It was the Lord who added to the church daily. This passage highlights God's responsibility in evangelism. The person of the Godhead responsible for this divine influence in evangelism is the Holy Spirit. Think of the things that Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit does in effort to save men. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, John 16. He's responsible for convicting men of sin, and He also convinces them that the gospel is true. Then He regenerates those who repent of sin and believe upon the Savior, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He then baptizes them spiritually into the body of Christ, making them part of the church, 1 Corinthians 12:13. He then seals them unto the day of redemption, making them eternally secure, Ephesians chapter 4. Then he indwells them, making their bodies his temple, John 14, verses 16 through 17. There are a number of other ministries that he performs for believers after the moment of their salvation, but these are immediately and directly involved with the moment of conversion. So, understand, it is the Lord who ultimately brings men to salvation. But this does not discount our responsibility to preach the gospel to the whole world. Not only do we have God's part in evangelism, that is, convicting men of sin and convincing them that the gospel is true, not only do we have the Christian's part in evangelism, which is obedience to the Great Commission and obedience to the preaching of the gospel, but the man who hears the gospel has the responsibility to respond correctly to it as well. It is his responsibility to repent of his sin and to receive the Savior. In Acts 20:20, Paul told the Ephesian elders that he had taught them publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Here Paul was very clear that the responsibility of men is to repent and to believe. So evangelism has God's part, the Christian's part, and the sinner's part. Everyone must fulfill their responsibility for evangelism to add to the church. Notice also the scripture said the Lord added to the church daily. Obviously, the Lord is faithful to do his part in convicting of sin and convincing men of the truth of the gospel, and he does that daily. But this verse indicates and emphasizes the fact that for God to do his work, the Christian must do his work daily as well. God has ordained that the Spirit of God works primarily with the Word in the hearts of men. Now, we might like to believe that God will save men without our efforts, but that is just not true. Listen to Peter's statement, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Men are born again when the seed of the Word of God is planted in their hearts. It is that seed of the Word of God that the Spirit uses to convict men of sin and of their need of the Savior. Thus, it becomes incumbent upon us as Christians to be faithful in preaching the gospel or giving the gospel witness, planting the seed of the Word in the hearts of men, if this Holy Spirit is to have a tool with which to do his work. Now, there's something else you need to notice in this passage. The scripture says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Evangelism has the function of adding members to the church. Evangelism is more than just getting people to receive the Lord for their own eternal welfare. Evangelism is meant to add people to the church. Now, is that for the good of the church? Well, one might possibly conclude that, but don't miss this point. The church is the disciple-making organization of the New Testament. If folks that we get saved are to be discipled, it is incumbent upon us to get them in the local church. The local church is a microcosm of the body of Christ. It's where disciples learn to feed themselves and grow. It's where disciples learn to cleanse themselves by confession of personal sin. It's where disciples learn to separate themselves unto the Lord for ministry and to separate themselves from the world and its ways. It's where disciples learn to be sanctified unto the Lord and to live holy lives, to be conformed to the image of Christ by the Spirit of God. It's the local church that administers the ordinances of baptism by immersion in water and the Lord's Supper. It's the local church that teaches new believers how to study the Bible. It's the local church that provides opportunities for disciples to exercise their spiritual gifts. It's the local church that teaches new believers how to witness to their friends and their families. It's the local church that teaches new believers basic Bible doctrine, provides Bible fellowship or biblical fellowship, directs worship private and public, and teaches how to minister to the brethren. Frankly, the local church is the spiritual family of a new believer. So it stands to reason that evangelism is not complete when a sinner prays to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Evangelism is not complete until a new believer is discipled into a local church. For it is in that local church that the new believer becomes a vibrant disciple of the Lord Jesus. Now, concerning evangelism, there's one other thought we must address. Did you notice that Acts chapter 2 seems to indicate an order of importance in these five functions? We see the teaching of doctrine, and out of doctrine grows fellowship. Then we see worship, and out of worship grows service and evangelism. It seems that the manward activities of fellowship, service, and evangelism grew out of the Godward activities of doctrine and worship. Furthermore, it seems as though evangelism grows out of the exercise of all of the other four. In other words, if doctrine, fellowship, worship, and service are right, and they are all signs of a healthy church, then evangelism will also be right. However, if the church is weak on doctrine, misinterprets fellowship, errs in the area of worship, and lacks Christian service one to another, then it is likely that the church will not be motivated in the area of evangelism either. Evangelism grows out of a healthy church. When a church finds itself with cold, empty pews on Sunday morning, the answer is not to go out and evangelize, for usually the motive will be wrong in that case. The answer is to begin to teach old-fashioned Bible doctrine. Then challenge the people to unite in agreement with one another around the doctrines of Scripture, yoke themselves together as a unit to do God's work. Then that church needs to worship the Lord in the way that He wants to be worshiped in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Then that church needs to teach its members to love one another and to serve one another as Christ commanded them. And out of that obedience, the health of the church will begin to increase. And it is the natural byproduct of a healthy church to evangelize the lost. So why do we go to church? What's the real function of a Bible-believing local church? Well, we're to teach the doctrines of the Bible. We're to unite around those doctrines and yoke ourselves together in fellowship to accomplish the work of Christ. We're to worship the Lord in the way that pleases Him. We're to serve one another in Christian love. And we are to evangelize the lost. Those are the five functions of the New Testament local church. I hope that your church is accomplishing those purposes. I know that they're behind everything we do in our church. Let me encourage you to make regular church attendance a central goal in your life and family for this coming year. Make sure you're in a church that is accomplishing these purposes. And if you're not, then find one that does, then be faithful to it. And if you've never been saved, call upon Him today to forgive your sin, to save your soul, to reconcile you to God. And my friend, if you need help in that matter, contact us at the First Baptist Church. We'd be thrilled to help you come to God through Jesus Christ. May God bless you and have a good week.
Been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312. Or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.